Sarah, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Our absolute pleasure. Now, we spoke originally a bit over a month ago when the announcement of these cuts was first made. A new document has revealed the CSIRO was planning on cutting 4 out of 5 climate research jobs originally. Could you give us a bit of a refresh on what the current situation looks like?
So the current situation, they haven't really seemed to be doing much over the last month or two. They've just, you know, they made the announcement that they were going to cut around about 100 jobs out of 140 in climate research, yet nothing's actually really happened, and that's because there's been a lot of pressure from the Senate for CSIRO to justify what they're doing and why, and it's actually come out they've been a bit naughty in how they've gone about making these decisions. So it seems that everything has stalled. I actually feel sorry for the workers at CSIRO. The poor things don't really know what's happening with their jobs. So it all seems like it's a bit of a mess at the moment.
Mm. Well, a spokesperson has said the CSIRO is committed to continuing to have open and transparent dialogue with staff and hearing staff's views and concerns. But is this what's being felt by the researchers?
I would have to say the exact opposite has happened. So there was actually a meeting recently with the Land and Water Division in Canberra where the chief executives, including Larry Marshall, went in and spoke to the workers there. And they actually had a walkout, which was led by the head of that division. And basically they felt that they weren't being listened to, that their visions and their work ideals were at complete odds with the management. And that they were being lied to. They've been telling all these things about not making a lot of money, we need to rely on our research interests, this sort of thing. And they felt that information was being kept to them as to why these decisions were being made.
Mm.
It's also interesting to point out that the Land and Water Divisions, who will also experience a large number of these cuts, did actually make a profit last year and in other years. So a lot of the rationale from head office in terms of discontinuing a lot of work by the Oceans and Atmosphere flagship or division was that they weren't making any money. And there's reasons behind that, but in terms of land and water, they actually turned a profit. So that excuse just simply does not hold for that division.
Now, what you said there about realigning their research interests, as we've discussed previously, part of the justification originally was that the CSIRO felt enough research had been done into climate change. We knew it. We knew what was going on with climate change. We're done with that field of interest. Now, there are talks of creating new jobs into areas such as climate mitigation. Is this a more practical approach?
Look, I'm not going to argue that we need more research into climate adaptation mitigation. That's absolutely 100% true. It's probably the only thing I agree with Marshall on. We did actually, so CSIRO did actually have an adaptation flagship a few years ago, but unfortunately it was axed with the first round of cuts. And sure, that's not Marshall's fault, but they did actually have that capacity at some point. Now, what's really important and what people are tending to forget, and I don't think it's getting a lot of airtime, is you can't do these adaptation, mitigation and innovation practices without up-to-date climate research. It is simply not possible. So what CSIRO used to do was update its climate projections for Australia every 5 to 6 years, around about the time that the IPCC work was done. That will stop. With the jobs that will be cut, that will stop. So think about what's happening in 20 years' time, and we're trying to innovate and adapt to climate change in 20 years' time based on today's news.
Mm.
Now, that's just not viable. It's not going to save us any money. It'll probably cost us more money in the long run. So that's what's really concerning for me, and I think what a lot of people are forgetting. To have effective adaptation and mitigation, you must have up-to-date climate research, and that's what they're forgetting about.
Labor has asked the coalition to stop the job cuts until after the next election. Do you think that's a fair request, and is the government likely to listen?
Gosh, is the government likely to listen? I'll tackle that first. They haven't really done anything. I've not heard boo out of our Prime Minister about this whole debacle. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure if perhaps other wheels are in motion behind the scenes. I'm hopeful that's the case, but who knows really. Look, if it buys us more time to try and sort something out, then it's probably a good thing. I do worry about the workers at CSIRO, though. When these changes were announced, they learnt about it through the media, then they got that really awful email from their CEO, and now they have absolutely no idea what's going on. So I feel for them, and I feel dragging it out might make it worse. It might make it better, but you know, it'll be another painful journey for them. If something does get resolved in the meantime, then that's absolutely fantastic, and I support the idea. And you know, perhaps if Labor gets in, then the cuts won't go through at all. So, in terms of buying more time, I think it's a great idea, but I think it's not the only thing that should happen.
Mm. Well, Sarah, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this morning and giving us a bit of an insight into what's happening with the CSIRO at the moment.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back again.